This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Both Republicans and Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature have already drafted measures aimed at reforming education in Wisconsin. Republicans in the state assembly are calling for a bill that would transfer control of failing schools away from school districts, while Senate Republicans are considering a somewhat different accountability measure. Meanwhile, some Democrats are calling for new accountability standards for voucher schools.
One thing that's not contained in any of those draft bills is language that would repeal Common Core standards that are in place in Wisconsin. That was a message delivered by Governor Scott Walker in the wake of his re-election in November, and it reflects growing sentiment among many conservative politicians.
But there is also some pushback from other conservatives in the policy arena. Robert Pondicio is a senior fellow and vice president for external affairs at the Thomas Fordham Institute, a right-of-center education policy think tank, and he joins us on the line this morning. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
So the Common Core is being assailed from people on both sides of the political spectrum. Some liberals say it's too much a one-size-fits-all approach, but it is conservatives in places like Wisconsin who are doing the most to work on repealing the standards. What do you make of their arguments that this is a top-down approach and education standards should be best left to the states themselves?
Yeah, boy, that's a lot to unwind, but let's dig in. I mean, I think there's, for starters, some misconceptions about what standards are and what they are not. So let's start by defining terms. Standards, you know, crucially, are not a curriculum. And what I mean by that is a curriculum. That's what your kids do in school all day, so to speak. That's what the teacher assigns. You know, curriculum is what kids read. It's what teachers teach. It's homework assignments, etc. Standards are none of those things. So if there's this idea at loose in the land that standards means, you know, every kid in Wisconsin and every other state is going to be learning exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, at exactly the same pace, you know, that sort of one-size-fits-all complaint that you hear, well, that's just simply not so. The analogy that I always use is to compare education standards to, say, auto safety standards. You know, I drive a Ford Escape. You may drive something else. You know, if you're going to make a car, you've got to have certain specifications. You've got to build them to certain standards. But that says nothing about what kind of car you must drive, what kind of make or model or color, et cetera. So this idea that's Common Core state standards is a top-down educational orthodoxy being imposed upon states in schools, I think, is really materially false.
Well, and so what? But at the same time, why is it that more than just local districts or states themselves should be setting the standards? Why should it be a broader approach?
That's a different question and a good one. I suppose my answer personally to that would be: look, we've had 50 states and 50 standards for some decades right now, and it really has not moved the needle on American education's overall performance. I mean, whether you love Common Core or hate Common Core, think it's a good idea, think it's a bad idea, you know, the data is what the data is. If you look at how our kids perform in, say, reading or math or science, compare, and I don't have the data at arm's length, but if you look at any international comparison you care to think of, you're going to find that their performance is just sadly lacking compared to our international peers. Now, you know, on the one hand, that may not be the most persuasive bit of evidence to an individual parent, but in terms of how that affects the way we think of our educational system as a nation, as policymakers and whatnot, it's cause for concern. So if you don't like Common Core, please don't tell me that you're not concerned about our international performance and the state of American education writ large. And then kindly tell me what your plan is to raise the bar.
Well, and so if standards aren't curriculum, how do the standards themselves move the needle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's more really of the level of performance than anything else. And that's worth discussing and unpacking. But I mean, I don't want to wonk out on. It really pertains to the level of proficiency. So in other words, if I want to teach my seventh grade students to kill a mockingbird, you might want to teach them Hatchet, for example. We make two different decisions on what books to teach, but there are certain skills and certain competencies that we expect all seventh graders to demonstrate in English language arts, for example, or in math. So how you get them there is really a pure local concern, but getting them to a certain level, and frankly, a higher level than they have been in the past, that's the policy concern.
Well, and so what's your reaction when you hear politicians, many of them on the conservative side of the spectrum, say that the Common Core amounts to a federal takeover?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be overly harsh or judgmental, but I think it really is a fundamental misconception about what education is. And look, I mean, I like local control. I wouldn't dream of usurping it, and I think that's important to say. But I think it's also it's very, very important. People say make these criticisms to really push them a little bit on and say, okay, well, what exactly is it that you're finding fault with here? And very often, it quickly leads to a misconception about what standards are and what they are not.
How does your own experience in teaching inform where you come from on Common Core?
I don't want to personalize it too much, but I was a mid-career switcher. I had a whole other career in the media, and about when I turned 40, I joined a program called the New York City Teaching Fellows, and ended up teaching in a particularly low-performing school in the South Bronx in New York City, which is where I live when I'm not in Washington. And you quickly come to discover that a lot of the homilies about education are simply not true. And some of the deficits that low-income kids in particular come to school with are simply not addressed by some of the traditional ed reform fixes, as it were. In other words, look, I love choice. I love charters. My kids I taught in a traditional public school. Today I teach in a charter school. But these are the types of say, structural changes in education that folks like me tend to concern themselves with, the changing the structures around education. I have focused in my work on instructional changes, on curriculum, on teaching, et cetera, because that's what my kids in the South Bronx were not getting. In other words, what kids learn matters a great deal. Now, again, Common Core, because I want to be clear on this, Common Core is not a curriculum. It is not prescriptive. But what it does that I think is important is it puts curriculum in play. In other words, instead of talking about choice and charters and teacher quality and testing, we're now actually having a conversation, and this hopefully is happening in every school district and state across the country, about, well, wait a minute, what exactly do we want our kids to learn? What exactly is it that we expect them to know and be able to do? And that's just a piece of the ed reform conversation that has just gone missing for the last couple of years.
Well, and so maybe not to oversimplify things, but what you're saying here is this gives school districts and states a benchmark to shoot for.
That's exactly right.
We've got to hit this. How are we going to get there?
Yeah, I think that's where that conversation belongs at the local level. But, so it does two things. It makes it clear that our standards have been too low, but it really puts the onus on individual states and districts to come up with their plan for raising the bar.
States and individual districts are not necessarily flush with cash at the moment. What about the economics of Common Core?
Yeah, I think there has been some discussion of that, and I don't want to diminish the importance of it. When you consider the overall expenditures that we make on public education in this country, it varies from state to state and district to district. In New York City, where I live, I think it's giving $20,000 per kid per year a good hard shove. In other states, I think Utah, and from memory, is maybe the lowest in the nation, which is, I think, still below $10,000. We're not talking about an enormous incremental cost. Most of the cost pertains to teacher training, professional development, and additional testing costs. But if I'm not mistaken, and again, it's going to depend on your location, we're not talking about huge sums of money in addition. You're talking about in the order of $50, $100 per kid per year.
Do you think this would be an issue if there were a Republican in the White House as much as anything? I mean, are there some who see Common Core as a symbol?
Boy, it's funny because the politics of this bewilders me a little bit. I wrote a piece for the National Review a couple of weeks ago, which was really addressed specifically at Republicans and conservatives. And it pointed out that, look, whether you love Common Core or do not, understand that there are some ideas embedded within Common Core that Republicans have traditionally supported. So, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as it were. One was this concern for curriculum. Before I joined the Fordham Institute, I worked for E.D. Hirsch's Core Knowledge Foundation, and many of your listeners may be familiar with his book from 1987, Cultural Literacy. And if you've ever been in a bookstore and seen one of those books, What Your Third Grader Needs to Know, What Your Fourth Grader Needs to Know, etc., that's Don Hirsch, E.D. Hirsch's work. And conservatives, in particular, homeschooling conservatives, have long embraced Hirsch's work, and Common Core all but demands that schools take his ideas seriously. So this is, again, what I said, I'm somewhat mystified by Republicans' eagerness to distance themselves from Common Core. I think that may be more about the politics than the substance. So I this is a way of not answering your question, I have to admit. But to me, the trick is not, who's in office, but really getting them to focus on what the standards say and understanding, that there are some of their good, time-honored ideas embedded within it.
You know, one of the storylines that's come in some states where the Common Core standards have been repealed and work is being done to replace them. It's what the governor of Wisconsin is talking about, replacing them with standards set by the state of Wisconsin. They end up looking a lot like the Common Core standards.
Well, that's right.
So at the end of the day, does it matter what it's called?
Well, look, I mean, I don't want to be cute about it because, there's politics and there's education and there's a limit to my, ability to comment intelligently on the politics of this. Other than to note that they seem contradictory and inscrutable to me at times. But I think you've hit on something important, which is I don't think it's necessarily gamesmanship if you rewrite standards and they end up looking an awful lot like Common Core standards, because that's the nature of standards. In other words, if you are to set a bar that says, look, we need our kids to be, say, college and career ready, to write at this level, to do math at that level, it's pretty hard to do that without producing something that looks like Common Core, because that's what Common Core does. That's what good standards do. They articulate what a college-ready individual knows and can do. My mind simply cannot wrap itself around the idea that you're going to do that, articulate what it is that a college-ready 18-year-old looks like without it looking like Common Core.
You have been a teacher. You still do some teaching. What is a teacher to do at a point in which the bar seems to be continually shifting, and there is still this uncertainty?
Yeah, look, this is a problem that transcends just Common Core. I mean, if you've been in the classroom for any amount of time, it's difficult to not get a little bit cynical sometimes, where you just see the edu fad of the moment and the flavor of the month, coming down like, okay, we're going to stop doing what we did, now we're going to do this instead. And again, after a while, teachers can become a little bit cynical about this. And I think teachers in states where Common Core is facing some headwinds are feeling this particularly, where they've spent a lot of time and effort gearing up for these higher standards, and now they're suddenly being told, well, not so fast, now we're going to do something different. So, I have deep sympathy for teachers like that. I've been in that position, and it doesn't make your professional life any easier.
Well, Robert Pondicio, thanks so much for taking some time to share your perspective with us, and maybe we can check in with you later in this debate.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Robert Pondicio is a senior fellow and vice president for external affairs at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and also an advisor to a charter school network based in New York City's Harlem neighborhood. He joined us on the line from Washington.
We'll take a short break now, but keep listening. When we return, we'll learn about a project that brings together audio interviews with Wisconsin farmers, old and young. We'll also hear some of those interviews as well. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.